Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Friday to you, brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Jaguars Today kicking off live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Tony, in 2 hours from now, is that how we're going to describe this show? You can't describe what I just heard. You cannot color commentate what I just heard on this broadcast.
Maybe. And I'll say this as we introduce our in-studio guest today. We're not even PG-13, all right? You can get away with things in a PG-13 movie that you can't get away with on terrestrial radio. So keep it clean, Doom. But other than that, welcome to the studio.
Tyler, you're on your toes today with that dump button, buddy. All right? So
I'll be ready.
Careful with this guy. Welcome. How do you like to be addressed, sir? Just Doom, Mr. Doom, Duval, Big
Sir
D.
Duval.
Doom's fine.
welcome to the show. Yeah. You scared David Garrard off.
I did.
Because he figured you were going to be a mic hog, and he's probably right about that. Welcome. You're the first. Look, we always have a voice of the fan. You can pick up the phone and be the voice of the fan anytime you like by calling 641-1010, but you're the first guy I can think of in a long time, certainly on this show, that we've ever invited to spend in studio with us, maybe in the hopes that you'll stop harassing me on Twitter.
It's possible, but I just appreciate being here. I really
forward to it. I'm just happy to be here. We're just taking it one segment at a time, guys. Just trying to put in a good day's work today. Tony and I tell people all the time, to the point where I feel like we're being fanboy about it, but it's honestly the way we feel. We sit here with this big window on the hallway, right, in the studio. By the way, plush studio, right? I mean, just everything you could ever imagine in a broadcast facility.
I am shocked at the level of luxury.
This carpeting on the wall is as plush as you would find in any 70s bachelor pad right here.
Yes, absolutely.
Very nice. Yeah. Later on, you can describe the decor if you like and who's missing. Maybe we'll get your picture up there. We'll have the Wall of Fame,
yeah.
The fan Wall of Fame.
We got little strips of lights that are out. It's beautiful.
There's places we could use little holes in the carpeting that we could cover up with a picture of Doom. And how jealous is Jaguar Twitter going to be if you get your face permanently hanging up? Maybe we'll put you on the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl Wall of Honor for the cheerleaders right there.
I could be on a wall full of cheerleaders. That would be fun.
That wouldn't be a bad spot. So that's the view Tony and I have. But every morning we look at our little window on the world, which is just a hallway here at Everbank Field. And I would say when he's in the building, when he's in Jacksonville working here in the building, 3 out of 5 days we see Gus or Dave Caldwell or both walk down the hall. They always pop their head in, and they always take a few minutes to chat about whatever, nothing, right? So you and I today, you come in this morning, a lot of sideways glances. Who's this guy? Who's the guy? Who's the new guy?
You noticed that, didn't you?
Right? Is he being vetted? Has somebody wanded this gentleman here?
Oh, yeah.
And so we said, I know a hallway that could get us perhaps out on the field, right?
Maybe.
It was locked. All right. The hall was open, but we get there. The door that we could see Jackson DeVille's little super cycle down there. The field was locked up. So we leave. Well, who is this bald-headed, handsome gentleman walking down the hallway? But the head coach of the team, right?
Gus Bradley.
Yes, and what did he do?
He stopped and he talked to me for a full 10 minutes.
About what? About nothing having to do with anything but just philosophy on life and how you do it and where you from and the whole nine yards,
yeah,
right?
I can tell you right now that I will no longer brook any discussion of Gus not being the coach we want to win with.
Because you're boys now,
yes.
Right? You and Gus are tight.
Yes.
You roll with Gus.
That's right.
Is basically how it
That's
is.
Right. I don't want to hear anything from Jaguars Twitter about not liking Gus. Keep it to yourself.
This is how the NFL is, by the way. This is so NFL. This is so NFL of Gus. This is so unlike Gus. Gus is like, you know, this doesn't have to be a radio conversation. Like the details of what we talked about. I'm not going to get into the details of what we talked about, Tony, but we described it to you. It's basically, he had a meeting with the coaches, and they're just talking about leadership and how do you get to where you want to be in terms of winning enough football games this year and all this stuff. But it wasn't like an X's and O's talk. He could have been man on the street. He could have been in Timbuktu and he would have said the same thing to the next person because he was just so excited about this meeting that he had and he had to convey that to somebody. And that's Gus in a nutshell. We see him every time we see him. That's how he is.
Absolutely. He was clearly as excited as I get when I'm talking about a Jaguars game.
It's just cool, though. I mean, yeah. You know, 10 minutes, he was like, what are you doing here? What's going on? Wasn't talking football per se.
No, he's unbelievable. And the stories you hear about him just interacting with fans around town. I remember the story Jackson DeVille told us about. They were taking the mattresses to the homes, and the van was late. It was like half an hour, 45 minutes late. So, you know, Gus and Jackson are in this neighborhood waiting on this van to come up. And everyone's like coming out the doors. They're like, what's going on over there? And they're like, oh, my gosh, that's Gus Bradley and Jackson DeVille. So they're coming over, and Gus is basically holding court. And instead of everyone asking Gus questions, he's like, well, what do you do? What time do you get home from work? Like half an hour of just getting to know the details of these people's lives. And then the van finally gets there, and like his wife is having to say, we need to go. But Gus just wanted to hang out with the people. I mean, there's nothing disingenuous about it. It's just who he is and what his personality is. And it is why, look, we all so want it to work in Jacksonville with Gus, is because of moments and meetings like that, because he's so cool. And when you compare it to just the past couple coaches we've had in Jacksonville, Del Rio's a fine guy, right, but he's not Gus. Malarkey, it was miserable in this building when Mike Malarkey was here. The environment down here is so completely different with a guy like Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell in the building. You just want those guys to have success because they're so fantastic. That doesn't mean it's going to work on the field for them. You just want it to so
it's
badly.
It's going to work, Tony.
He will harbor no discord in that regard. He's like a shot of a little espresso right in the morning for you. You know, you see him, you're like, all right, the next grueling 2 hours right of work is going to be.
Is it like, seriously?
It's going to be like an hour 45.
How did you describe the meeting with Tom Coughlin? Seriously, didn't he say it was like a straight drink with no chaser?
Yeah.
Or something like that, something along those lines. That's kind of what it's like to meet Gus Bradley.
All right, Duval Doom, how much do you want to give away of your secret identity, or are you content to go with your supervillain persona today?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Okay, I mean...
Yeah, no, Johnny McDonald.
Johnny McDonald, yeah. Right, and Johnny Machiavelli on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which it surprised me yesterday, because our question yesterday was about, you know, taking people on who have domestic abuse in their past. And, you know, look, they're all levels of it. I don't want to rehash that whole conversation. But your tweet on that was basically don't want them, don't need them, not a part of what we're trying to do. The, you know, biggest female fan base, let's protect these women, all that. And I'm not saying that anyone who would suggest signing Greg Hardy is saying let's, you know, call open season on the women of Jacksonville. That's your prerogative. The different folks have different thoughts on that. But for a guy who calls himself Johnny Machiavelli, I didn't think it was very Machiavellian of you. I thought you were like, wow, that's way too reasonable of you.
I don't have a lot of things. There are a lot of things that I don't think should affect whether or not we bring a football player in. I personally have some pretty strong opinions about substance abuse. I don't necessarily think that somebody doing something illegal is a reason we shouldn't bring them in. But I feel like violence like that could be dangerous. And I it's hard with Greg Hardy because knowing just what we know about the facts, it's not the same as Ray Rice. It's not the same as some of the more egregious instances, but it's still very – I don't think we would need to bring that.
Yeah, we don't need to rehash that whole line of thinking. I was just curious how that –
I'm a person,
with your
Mike.
Name.
I have all kinds of opinions.
You're multifaceted
right.
And all that. So explain to people who don't know, because we sit here every day. One of the first things I do, I open Twitter, open Facebook, social media. We interact. We'll give you the fan feedback question of the day in a moment. In fact, if you haven't seen it already. But not everybody does. And we forget that because we're in our little bubble. But Jaguar Twitter is an amazing beast, right?
Right.
I mean, it's got its own life force. You're a part of that. I would consider you a part of the core community of Jaguar Twitter. Explain to us the phenomena of Jaguar Twitter.
Well, I think it just started out, you know, when I first got on there, I really just paid attention to what the Jaguars players were saying. I got on Twitter as a way to follow Jaguars players. As that happened, it sort of, you run into other people that are following the same thing, like, you know, Cap, the president of Bold City Brigade, you know, Alfie, all of the people that are on there on a regular basis. And I'll be honest with you, it changed the way that I enjoyed the game, because I have this community of friends that I'm with now that we all go through the same horrible emotions and it made it much more bearable. 2012 was terrible because I really wasn't a big huge part of Twitter, and I didn't join Bold City Brigade till the very end. And so getting through that season, man, you can ask my wife, it was rough.
Are you circling up every day, every game day?
Everyone at the tailgate would tell you that Doom does not circle up the way that they circle up, because I have bad knees, so I just kind of stand there. And
I got you, but you participate.
I do participate.
You're there in spirit.
I do participate.
I'm with you, brother. I got bad knees too, man, and I'm finding out just how bad as I try to coach the 10 and 11 year olds in soccer this year, Tony, and the littlest girls on the team are rifling shots past me,
right,
2 feet to either side, because I got no lateral movement anymore.
Right,
I'm stuck. That's where I'm at right now. All right, so we'll talk about that phenomenon a little bit today. We'll get your thoughts, and you can't speak for everybody out there.
No.
You don't speak for all of the Jaguar fandom. You speak for yourself, but I'll get your thoughts on where you think the community of Jaguar fans wants to go in free agency, where you personally would like to see this team go in free agency. Gus was not forthcoming with a list of names.
He didn't tell us.
He did not tell us. Yeah, I really thought he was going to.
He was so open to everything else.
That's why Ndamukong Suh makes a perfect Jaguar. No, he did not say that. He did not say that whatsoever. He did not mention any names. I mean, truly, the conversation was so far from that. I'm so glad you got to experience
awesome.
That, because we try to describe that all the time, and that's truly what it's like. And I think people think, oh, you're just, you know, I'm part of the Sunshine Pumper Brigade on Gus Bradway, and I'm sitting there listening to him talk to you more than anything, and thinking, it just reminds me every time I do this that it's got to be him. I want him to win, and if they won a Super Bowl and it took him 10 years, fine, but I want it to be him regardless. And it will make it so much sweeter if it is, because of the way, and, you know, just to hear him talking about, we built this team, and now we're going to have this bond of men, and we're going to have, I mean, it's just like,
these are things he said.
He is like in the midst of a halftime speech, and he's ready to go, and it was like 8:15 on Friday morning
in February.
I wanted
to go suit up.
You're ready to go.
Go out on the field and play football.
You're like,
right,
locked door, not a problem. I'm
Let's
going
go.
Right through there. All right, today, you are a big comic book fan,
yes.
Right, which you fit in this room, particularly with Tony, but I consider myself a big comic book fan as well, going back a little more old school. Fantastic Four was my book, my comic book, growing up. I'm telling you, I learned more science and stuff like that from reading the Fantastic Four than I did in school, probably. And what does that say about me? That's up to you to decide. But Dr. Doom is the arch nemesis of the Fantastic Four, and Reed Richards, Duval Doom, that's where the Doom comes from.
Yes.
You don't predict Doom for the Duval County.
No.
Right?
It just was, he was always, my thing about Dr. Doom was, he doesn't think he's wrong. He thinks the world will be a better place if you'll just let him be in charge.
Right, just let him be the dictator
right.
of
and
the
I,
world.
I feel that way. I feel like if I was just in charge of everything,
at least in charge of the Jags,
yes.
Maybe Duval County,
sure.
Maybe Twitter as a whole, whatever. Pretty much. By the way, I don't care what color your damn dress is, but to me it looks sky blue and gold.
You're so wrong.
All right?
It's not blue and gold. It's blue and black.
Blue
Absolutely.
And black.
Yes. I agree with Duval.
Tyler, you think it's blue and black? Tony, have you seen it yet?
No, but based on the color schemes I've heard, I'm pretty sure it's black and gold, baby.
Why are you pretty
Anchor
sure it's
down,
black and
right?
gold, baby?
Vandy.
Vandy, where the your coach is out of control, by the way.
Oh, well, that's because the kid was out of control.
Is that right?
Yeah. I actually thought that I liked the coach saying that.
Yeah.
Sticking up for the man.
Yeah.
There's Tony. Just going
full
Vandy
on it. No, he shouldn't have said or done what he did, but the kid was wrong.
All right, fan feedback spotlight today brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Asks you today to give us an NFL personality, player, coach, front office, GM, owner, commissioner, whomever. It can be a past player if you want it to be. I stuck with current players. We're going to do the top five based on this. But send us one that you think is reminiscent of a supervillain, an actual supervillain, a la Dr. Doom or somebody else out there. Don't act like you haven't read comic books, listeners of Jaguars today. You know you have. So tweet us your
Geek
thoughts.
Geek out with us for a few minutes.
That's right. You know, we're bound to do it, so, and we will do it today. But share your thoughts on that, and you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Duval_Doom. All right? Give them lots of follows today as well. How many followers do you have on Twitter? Do you wear it on your do you have a number tattooed on your arm like some
it
do?
It was 800 last time I looked, but
800.
I told you what the goal today is, though. I want the follow from the official account.
The That's official account. All right, at Jaguars, get busy.
That's what I want.
All he wants for Christmas, and we know it's 10 months away, is a follow from at Jaguars. Tony, what's going on?
The free agent class of wide receiver just got a little bit deeper. A couple names added to the pool. We'll let you know who those are here in just a moment.
Oh, it's a tease. I like it. A radio tease. Well executed by Tony Smith, ladies and gentlemen. James Casey, Jags may kick the tires on him, one of those quote-unquote move tight ends. Think Clay Harbor when you think James Casey, maybe a little bit quicker, although Clay Harbor's not slow by any means, but the Jags, one of several teams wanting to take a look at Casey now that he's been released by the Philadelphia Eagles. What about the free agent pool wide receivers? We'll tell you how it's growing coming up here in just a moment. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Duval Doom in studio live at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, we're doing some radio here. Hey. Oh, Doom's in the house. It's a party in the studio now.
What?
Unbelievable. So I tweet the Jaguars official account, Tony. I said, all my man Duval Doom wants is a follow from the official account for Christmas.
Right.
Okay. And a hashtag at Christmas in February. Oh, the Jaguar Twitter heavies just come down the hall, right? The muscle. Excuse me. I believe we already follow you. Now, was that, Brandon, was that a confirmed already following Duval Doom? You are following him now. All right, so.
Excellent.
See, it's.
We did it.
Coming
Woo!
In. Now, they're gonna stop following you at noon, and that's okay. You are going to keep following Duval Doom. All right.
Did Duval bring breakfast for everybody?
This isn't the Patriots account.
Did you bring those guys breakfast? Mine was delicious. Did you bring them breakfast
awesome.
As well?
I didn't.
See? I got a box of Girl Scout cookies, man, if you want them. You can't escape those little wenches. They're everywhere. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for making Christmas merry for everybody. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
See, that's
great.
You're getting all kinds of perks now. I feel good because I didn't bring you already have a T-shirt. I didn't bring you a shirt or anything.
I have a T-shirt. I thought about wearing it. It was kind of cold.
You can have the tag-alongs if you want them. They are quite delicious.
I'm okay. I have a lot of those at home.
Yeah, I have a lot of way too many things. Hacker said yesterday, you know all about going to the gym every day. I'm like, yeah, I did like 2 years ago, Hacker. What are you talking about? I know going to the fridge every day. It's spelled with a G, actually.
No.
Yes.
Short for gymnasium.
Gymnasium.
Basketball
is what
games.
That is.
I go to watch basketball games.
I occasionally go and watch basketball games at a gymnasium. But seriously, I've never gotten that kind of response from the team in any capacity that we just got right here. Oh, Duval Doom's in the house. Got to go introduce myself. I got to go shake
hands.
We
saw your tweet.
It's unbelievable. We saw your tweet. We believe we're already following him.
I knew they weren't.
You better check.
I knew they weren't.
You told me this is like the, what would it be, I don't know, the golden something or other, right? I mean, this is like the coup if you're on Jaguars Twitter.
There are some of us that are very envious and want the follow from the official account.
So, like the certified check mark. You know, it's like you're certified as a Jaguars Twitter member almost.
Yes,
right.
You're like in the Illuminati of Jaguars Twitter.
Right.
You're pulling the strings.
My phone is blowing up right now.
So is
I
it?
I can only imagine the snarkiness that I'm getting right now.
I'm guessing out of the 10 or 12, I don't know how many people are followed by the Jaguar official account, but I'm betting out of those, you may be the only one who's been followed by them and blocked by me.
That's so, possible. That's got, possible.
And unblocked. I mean, know you're the only one unblocked
I
by
mean,
me.
Let's be honest, Mike. Blocking me was a mistake. You felt bad about it.
It
was wrong.
All right, you know what? You're,
I don't
you're
even remember
guest today.
I don't remember what you did to get blocked.
Grammar police. I made fun of him.
Did you go grammar police?
I made fun of you for you spelling a word wrong.
You know what? Shut him down.
You were like, done, I'm out.
I don't have time for this nonsense.
He was in a mood.
He was in a bad mood.
You picked him on a wrong day. The computer in that studio was probably giving him problems.
And then Duval Doom was a good guy. We settled it because he made a nice donation to the Tom Coughlin J Fund to help kids, and we all hugged it out long distance, and it was fantastic, and everyone's good friends now. And just wait. Hey, the Coughlin J Fund wine tasting gala is coming up.
I
may
unblock
you again. Or I may block you again. Tony, what's going on? We got free agent wide receivers.
Yeah, a couple more added to the pool today for the Jaguars if they are interested in adding a veteran. Not sure if they'll be interested in either one of these guys. But Brian Hartline reportedly released from the Miami Dolphins. He would have been owed $5.6 million. next season, so it makes sense that they would part ways with him.
He's a good player.
He caught like 35 passes.
But he's a good player. He's not worth $5.5 million. But no. he's always been just a solid kind of player.
He has been.
But nothing that I think the Jags need to be interested in.
The other guy, and this one may be a guy the Jags would take a look at, Harry Douglas, released from the Atlanta Falcons. He's a guy that has a fill-in. He's been the three in Atlanta for the last 4 or 5 years, basically. But every time that either Roddy or Julio would go down, Harry's been a fine replacement for either one of those guys. The other note on Harry Douglas, Dave Caldwell was a part of the scouting department in Atlanta when they drafted him in the third round in 2008. So he has a solid relationship with Harry Douglas as well, you would think, from their time in Atlanta. Don't know if the Jags would take a look at him or not, but Harry Douglas released from the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, that makes sense, though. That connection with Caldwell, the familiarity, maybe makes it a little bit more likely. And Harry Douglas is a guy, he's probably had 400 or 500 yard games in the last several years, filling in for the likes of Roddy White.
He had a 1,000 yard season in 2013.
Yeah, he's a good player. But, you know, as much as we sit here and say, well, is it Julius Thomas? Is it Peyton Manning? You know, is it a Matt Ryan offense with either Julio or Roddy across from you at any given time until this past year, Tony Gonzalez in the mix? So, makes it a little bit easier for Harry Douglas to put up numbers, but he's taking advantage of that opportunity.
Sure, and as we were talking about a moment ago, with a guy like Harry Douglas, if the idea for the Jags is not necessarily to upgrade the receiver core, if you like what you have in that group as far as your young talent, but you want a veteran in the room, then a guy like Harry Douglas makes sense because he is still a guy that can give you something on the field if you want him on. He's not like a Nate Washington where it feels like it's just a cliff edge for a guy like that is coming, but a guy that is still productive in this league but also gives you a veteran presence in that locker room. If that's what they're looking for, a guy like that makes sense.
All right, Doom. How big of a need from the Duval Doom eyes, your point of view, is the wide receiver position?
I don't feel like it's as big a need as some other stuff. I feel like it wouldn't hurt to get somebody really, really great. I get excited about Randall Cobb, but I don't feel like it's as big a deal as some people seem to think. I feel like there were a lot of plays that Marquise Lee was open last year that Blake didn't have time to get the ball to him. I saw that, and I saw a lot of stuff from Allen Robinson before he got hurt that just made me think they're going to be both really good wide receivers.
Yeah, I think particularly Allen Robinson has shown a lot more. We see the quick twitch ability of Marquise Lee, consistency lacking in his rookie season, but that's typical. Last year was a very atypical year for rookie wide receivers, so he kind of gets washed out as, wow, there are these 10 or 12 other guys that made more impressive debuts, and that's just the way it was, circumstance, opportunity, we all understand. I tend to agree with you that the key aspect of fixing this offense is shoring up the offensive line, whether that's simply getting a new right tackle or maybe pushing some of those interior linemen as well, you know, Beatles and Bowanko for a starting job. No way, barring injury, that I can conceive of Luke Jokel and Brandon Linder. This team has them in their minds locked in, and Linder played certainly to that level last year. Jokel needs to play to that level this year, but they're not, you know, going anywhere. They're not in any kind of danger as far as that goes. So how would you prioritize? If you had your wish list, who's the first guy? If you could only sign one, we've done this question before, but who would be the first guy on your top five wish list?
Oh, goodness. People aren't going to like this, but it's Ndamukong Suh.
Okay, why aren't they going to like it?
I think people feel like I've gotten a lot of pushback that because of how great Sendarek is, and Sendarek is great, that we don't need another tackle as bad as we need the ends. But I feel like Ndamukong Suh is such a great player. And if he actually hit free agency, you are not doing your job as a general manager if you don't go after a player of that caliber at that age. Now, if Ndamukong Suh was 32 or, you know, at the end of his career, then maybe not. But I feel like he's so talented that it is going to make a phenomenal difference.
Whether they do or not, I think Suh is actually versatile enough the way the Jags run the left defensive end position that you could have a lightning package of sorts with him as your defensive end in there along with Marks. I mean, I think, or maybe those would be your two guys in the middle, but I could see Suh having the versatility to do that. Keep in mind in Detroit, where they were outstanding against the run, they had Suh Fairley and C.J. Mosley, the former Jaguar, and they all played a lot. You know, much like, now look, this team, every time you talk to somebody associated with this team. We talked to Todd Wash and really felt like Ziggy Hood came on in the second half of the year for them. You know, so it's not like they're in desperate straits either way, but we do know this. I mean, you tear your ACL in the final game of the season. We just don't know what the timetable is going to be. We all have hopes that Derek, even if he's ready to play, is he ready to be 2014 Derek Marks the first half of the year? And the answer to me is probably it's doubtful.
Well, the thing to me is, we saw how much better Derek got once we had the other players here where we could rotate them more, and they talked about that at the end of the season before. Well, if Derek's coming off of this ACL injury, how much better is he going to be if when you spell him, you're spelling him with Ndamukong Suh? I mean...
Right. Well, put it this way. If they sign Ndamukong Suh, they're not spelling anyone with Ndamukong Suh.
You know what I mean. Right.
I hear you.
But, I mean, your production is just – it doesn't – at that point, there's no pressure on Senderic. There's no danger. Senderic, you come back as you're ready to come back. There's no pressure of, hey, the team really needs you, because at that point, we got two great ones.
So. All right. So Sue's off the board, whether the Jags are able to pursue him, swing a deal, even if they pursue him. You got to figure half the league is going to pursue Ndamukong Suh.
Sure.
So, you know, I just want to see them on the guys they want. I want to see them make a good faith effort. I mean, a serious good faith effort. You don't want to have guys, and look, they're going to value players differently. So I'm not saying they should make the highest bid on every player, but you hate to see Emmanuel Sanders come in and basically say last year, look, they're not willing to pay me anything close to what I'm worth. And you're like, well, Emmanuel Sanders, are you that good? And then he goes to Denver and he shows, given the right opportunity, I'm pretty damn good. Right. So, I think that's one thing Jag fans want to see, is just the pursuit and the effort. All right, after Sue, who's next?
It's Randall Cobb. I don't think that the wide receiver as big a deal, but I still would like to see a wide receiver that has proven success, is still young enough to give us something. So, you know, not necessarily like when we brought in Torrey, who I was happy we brought in, but, you know, Torrey was at the end of his career at that point. But somebody who can come in and say, look, this is the work ethic that you have to have. This is how you have to be successful, and this is what you need to do. And I think that there's something to that.
Green Bay Press Gazette did a story today, I believe it was, just out this morning. I was reading it earlier, where there's a growing, I don't know if fear is the right word, but a growing feeling maybe up there that, boy, you know what? If they don't get this done before free agency opens up, they're going to get outbid, and the Packers are not that organization who's going to go overpaying somebody, no matter how much they like him. So if he makes it to free agency, I think all of a sudden the likelihood that Randall Cobb finds a new home skyrockets. The question is, with a lot of these guys, is he going to make it? Even Sue, is he going to make it? Don't know. You know,
right.
They talk confidently. I don't know how they're going to fit him in with Calvin Johnson and Stafford already having cap figures around $20 million a year, but they still talk confidently about that. We figure Justin Houston's not getting out of KC. Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas are off the board. All right, Randall Cobb's gone. Who's next for you?
Well, in my opinion, if they keep Randall Cobb, let's assume the Packers keep him.
He doesn't
go somewhere else. Then Brian Bulaga's not staying there.
He's number one on my list, man. I'm with you. The issue we have, Tony and I talked about this yesterday, they just released A.J. Hawk, saved another $3.5 million in cap space. How much do you need to pay Bulaga to stay in Green Bay, where he's already comfortable? I don't know what that number is, $6 million a year, whatever. Well,
right.
They just saved half of it in one cost-cutting move yesterday. They're not crazy. I mean, you talk about a team that's got a window of championship opportunity. They realize how close they were to the Super Bowl, and they've got now close to $30 million in cap space. Again, if Randall Cobb wants to break the bank, he's not going to play in Green Bay. But if he's realizes, you know, catching balls from Aaron Rodgers would be a pretty good deal for the next 5 years, and he takes a little bit less, I think it'd be tough to get him out of there. And they've got, I mean, Bulaga's only 26. He could play either side of the line in the pinch. Your left tackle gets hurt, go send him over there. You're not going to really have any kind of drop-off.
Well, the question becomes in Green Bay. Sorry, Doom, but the question becomes in Green Bay, what's your priority? You know, right tackle is such a thin position in this league. If you have a 26-year-old guy that you feel like plays very well at that position compared to, look, Aaron Rodgers is dependent on what you do on that offensive line. As great as he is, if you feel like you can develop talent behind that at wide receiver, then is the priority in Green Bay this whole time really been Bulaga, and they're waiting to see what Randall Cobb wants to do? Maybe there is an offer to Randall Cobb saying, we're going to pay you this. This is what we're willing to give you. And Randall has a decision to make. Do I want to stay in Green Bay for that kind of money, or do I want to go see how crazy it's going to be for me in free agency? I wouldn't be surprised if that's the way Green Bay's handling the whole situation.
Well, that was kind of why I put Bulaga third, because the impression that I got, and admittedly I don't follow the Green Bay press the way a Green Bay fan would, was it didn't feel to me like Bulaga was going to get out of there. It felt like Bulaga wants to be there, maybe. Not that Randall Cobb doesn't want to be there, but just that, you know, you hear all those stories about Bulaga being so involved in the community and how he loves Green Bay and the area, which, you know, no offense to anybody in Green Bay. I don't know why.
You ever been there?
It's cold.
But have you ever been there?
No.
It is cold. I'm telling you, dude, there's something about it's like you pass through some time portal.
Everybody says that.
I'm not kidding you, and I'm not. Tony will tell you, and I've said this a billion times, but it's because I really feel strongly about this that I don't get wowed by people like, wow, you got to go to this stadium. Like, eh, you know, I've done LSU games at night, been on the sidelines. Eh, it's all right. I mean, what's the big? I don't see what the big deal is.
It's loud.
Lambeau Field. It's like, whoa, man. I mean, it is pretty cool.
We talked about making that last game, the last time the Jags played up there, just briefly, but my dad and I, we briefly discussed.
It would be worth it. That is a trip that would be worth it, I think, if you really are into the league, into your team, and just, you know, it's not obviously one that you're going to make every 8 years with the way the schedule is set up right now. All right, so you've got Sue, you've got Cobb, you got Bulaga. Give me two more.
I like the Thomas tight end out of Denver.
Okay.
I'm not real hung up on tight ends. I feel like, I don't know. I think of tight end almost as gravy, kind of. You got to get your meal prepared first before you worry about a pass catching tight end, but I know most people don't feel that way.
All right. And, give me one more.
That's tough. I didn't have five thought out. I guess, I'd still go with something on the offensive line. I like Zane Beatles, but I'm not sure that we don't need to look at bringing in somebody.
Push him.
Yeah. But I don't know who.
I'm curious about it. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, right? You got Doug Free, who's 30, 31 years old, and has played pretty well. Then he got hurt, and Jeremy Parnell came in, young guy. They're both free agents. I almost feel like, you know, look, I'd rather have Bulaga. And he's, to me, he's a known commodity. He has had injury concerns. It seems to me when you look at like the kind of guys that Caldwell has signed over the last couple of years, you know, players that have maybe a draft pedigree or, you know, something that he likes about a young guy coming into his second contract. And let's try to hit on some of these guys. Parnell almost seems like a sneaky under the radar type guy that they would love to have young, but has starting experience, not a raw rookie who could come in and did very well in a run-heavy scheme,
right,
which is what they want to do, you know, and certainly help them have maybe the best offensive line. They really didn't have any drop-off from one guy to the other. So there's probably several of those kind of guys high up on their board that, you know, we all get caught talking about the same top 10 names, and nothing wrong with that. I want half those top 10 guys too, like
everybody
else, man. Spend that $60 million shot, baby. Claude Nolan Cadillac brings you the show every Friday. We'll get some Duval Doom thoughts on the NFL draft coming up. If you want to share your thoughts with us, 641-1010. Tweet the program. Oh, the Twitter's going crazy this morning. You hear my phone vibrating every 2 seconds here. At MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Duval_Doom. Question of the day. Which NFL personality, player, coach, front office, what have you, best profiles as a supervillain, and which supervillain do you think that would be? All right, we'll come back, take your calls, get into the draft a little bit. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, second definition of the word wench, Tony, at dictionary.com is usually facetious, a girl or young woman. When I refer to the Girl Scouts as little wenches, I'm being facetious. I'm facetiously referring to these girls as wenches, okay? That seems like a spot-on use of that word to me. They're clearly not wenches. I don't even know what is a wench. A wench is like, you know, someone back in who maybe swabbed the deck on a pirate ship. I don't know, right? Arr.
I thought it would be like a girl who worked in a bar, like
barmaid,
serving grog.
Right? A country lass or working girl, and don't interpret working girl wrong, the milkmaid was a healthy wench, okay? That is the description. That is the first definition. So,
I wonder how old a book I have to read.
If you're going
to
call Tyler, and you're going to, if you're going to call and say, I need to apologize for referring to the Girl Scouts as wenches, A, you're way too sensitive, and B, you must not have listened to me much over the years, because ain't happening, okay?
To be clear, you're not going to apologize?
No, I'm not apologizing. Okay. Just to be clear, my sister was in the Girl Scouts, and yes, she was is a former little wench. My
Has she texted you yet?
No, my sister knows she's a little wench.
All right.
So everything's good in that regard. Love the Girl Scouts. That's why I bought their tag-alongs for only $4 a box. I'm sure that was a wise investment. All right, a couple of things here before we get to some NFL draft stuff. This is kind of draft-related. I've been told to have you. You're not taking a picture on that thing,
no.
are you? What are you doing over there?
Nothing, buddy. All right. Don't worry about
anyone it. Who wants to get invited back into the studio, Tony, better respect the cone of media that's going on here. Anyhow, what about the time Donovan Darius had you run a 40? What happened with this?
Oh, good Lord. All right, so my daughter, as she has become a Jaguars fan, has really gravitated to a few players, and Donovan is one of them, which is funny because Donovan had stopped playing for us when she was very, very little. But she really likes – every time she sees Donovan talk, she enjoys it. She's 12 now. And we did a Father's Day camp that Donovan put on here at the stadium. And he separates the kids, and they go off and do some fun stuff. And then he kind of takes the dads off, and he talks to you about being a dad. Inspirational words and stuff. And one of the things that Donovan doesn't brook is when you say you're a little too big to do the 40. Donovan's not having that. So Donovan said, nah, Johnny, you're going to run the 40. You're going to run it, and I'm going to run it with you. So
or in front of you, as the case may
be. He ran right next to me, backwards, while I ran at my full speed.
Can we get a time, please?
13.6.
Right now, with my knees,
this was a couple years ago, so I don't think I could do 13.6 now.
You might beat me at 13.6.
But Donovan said it was a good time at the time. After listening to the 40 times at the combine, I'm pretty sure Donovan lied to me.
You think? Did your draft stock go up or down by 2 rounds?
It went down.
It did.
As in, I wasn't drafted that year.
You went from like priority free agent to not even getting invited to the regional combine.
Yes,
kind of guy.
Correct.
Well, that's fair. That
correct.
Seems reasonable. Also got
sounds like Donovan too. I can see
sounds,
him
right?
being the guy like, no one's going to say they can't do this.
Oh no, he didn't. He came right over, and it wasn't just me. There were some guys out there that really were looking concerned about doing some of that stuff, and Donovan had everybody run it. He made everybody feel great. You know how it is when you're a dad. You don't want to embarrass your little girl, and he didn't make anybody feel like no. I don't think anybody out there felt embarrassed.
Hey, those little wenches need to toughen up. Right?
Yeah,
let's be honest.
I have a picture of her on my desk. It's my favorite picture of my daughter. It came from the Times Union, and she's holding a football, wearing her Donovan Darius camp shirt, running, and the Times Union photographer got a picture, and I got it off the website. And
that's
awesome.
Who is your current favorite Jaguar?
My current favorite Jaguar is Blake. I like Blake.
We're going to have Blake come by and bring you an autographed helmet, but then we were kidding. We didn't.
Right.
I didn't think that would happen.
You know what happened, though? Blake favorited a tweet of mine once.
No.
Yeah, and it was the greatest.
Did you screen cap it?
I did. You know what it was? It was when he was, and I hope I'm not getting him in trouble with any of his lady friends now, but at the time he was joking on Twitter about how does one go about getting a date with Taylor Swift.
I remember that.
And I tweeted it to her, and I was like, yeah, how do you? And Blake favorited my tweet to Taylor Swift with him in it. Yeah.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently he's...
All right. Different strokes.
He likes to shake it off.
All right. The reason I wanted to ask you something about one of your favorites, because Mike Tishone, who's become quite the Twitter guy for the show in the last week or so.
I love Mikey.
He debuted our top five host rankings. We're now, technically you could be considered in the number four spot where he put everyone else, right one spot ahead of Ryan O'Halloran.
There's no question in my mind that he meant me.
That was pre-Duval Doom rankings, though.
Yeah, that's
we'll
true.
See. We'll
that's
see true. If he puts out a new top five. But he asked, would you be willing to throw some shade on some former Jaguar players, much like David Garrard did last Friday. Dave's probably listening right now. He's like, wait a minute. Love you, Dave.
I don't have any real big-time shade. I got some personal stories that some of them were.
Are we going to wait to the break for this?
I don't know. I mean,
well, you tell us. Tony already told you this. We're not even PG-13.
Nothing like that. Just, you know, there were times where you forget that they're people.
All right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to tell us these off the air,
okay,
and we will vet these stories. Right. I think
they really are just guys. They happen to be guys people. That are playing something that only 1% of 1% of people can do, but they are just guys in the end.
By the way, I haven't mentioned, I cannot believe I've gone 48 minutes in the broadcast without mentioning the high holy day that it is on Netflix today. House of Cards is out. And I did make it through season 2. I got through season 2 last night. You hear me knocking twice on the table right there? I don't have a big class ring on, but I did make it through. Frank Underwood is ready to do some dirty dealing right now. Somebody did tweet me a little bit earlier. I think it was Brian who said, hurry up, get the show over with, because I'm ready for House of Cards right now, baby. You know it. It's out on Netflix. Love it. If you haven't watched it, don't start on season 3. Start on season 1. You can quickly catch up. All right, draft. The scenarios. Oh, we got it all figured out, right? It's all boiled down to this. Just like we knew Blake would be the pick last year.
Right.
But
it's not like the day of we were saying, is Johnny Manziel a possibility?
Right.
Khalil Mack or Sammy Watkins? What do you want, Jacksonville?
At least I felt that. I think I had Johnny down at 5%, but he was on my board.
There might have been someone in this room that was campaigning hard for Johnny to come to Jacksonville.
Look, I was with you. I'll admit it. I thought Johnny Manziel would
Magic.
Be a better football player
Magic.
In the NFL.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm still not convinced he can't be a good football player in the NFL completely. I think he completely did not take his rookie season seriously. But again, not to get sidetracked here, the scenarios for the Jags seem to coalesce around a few things. One, the quarterbacks go in the first two picks, and Leonard Williams is your prohibitive favorite to go number 3.
Right.
Okay. Would you agree with that?
I would think so, yeah.
Do you think Jaguar Twitter is on board with Leonard Williams?
I believe that they are. The one thing we are all on board with is no matter who goes at 2, because it's the Titans, it will be the wrong thing to do.
Of course.
No matter who they pick, it'll be wrong because they do that.
Of course.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a given. Knowing that, next scenario could be the Titans take Leonard Williams, in which case, he's a bust.
Right.
No matter what they do. Do you think there's a market then? Do you think the Jags are able to pull off a draft day trade, or do you think they're sitting there and they're taking their next best option?
I think they take their next best option.
And
I don't think there's going to be nearly as much interest in Mariota as people are trying to. It seems to me like every year there's a quarterback people try to manufacture is going to go higher than he is going to go. And I just, Mariota.
See, I think he's going high.
Top 15.
But whether or not he lives up to it is another story.
Sure. Okay.
All right. So, but regardless, all right. Do you think, or are you on board with, or what do you think about the swirl of consensus that has formed around Dante Fowler in the last week and a half, that all of a sudden he has gone from being just another one of the good top 12 or 15 prospects to seemingly the no doubt number 3 selection if it goes Winston, Williams, 1 and 2.
I will preface this by saying that I am not a tape watcher. I am not a draft Twitter guy, so I don't have a lot of study. I like Dante Fowler. I don't have a problem with him at 3, but as a Jaguars fan, first and foremost, all I see is Derek Harvey.
Oh, no.
And that terrifies me.
Is that because he went to Florida?
Yeah,
is
that's
that
all. That's the only reason.
Connection?
I have
right.
no idea that he plays the way that Derek Harvey played. But, you know, by all accounts, to me, I'm not a Florida fan, so I don't watch much Florida football. But by all accounts, Derek Harvey was a great player in college.
He was a good player. Dante Fowler's held in higher regard by Gator fans than Derek Harvey was. I understand why they made that move for Derek Harvey. It was clearly a panic move. But honestly, even giving up the 4 draft picks, by the chart, they didn't get ripped off on that deal.
People
look at it and they say, Derek Harvey's got to be worse because of what they gave up. Well, they did give up a lot in terms of the number of picks, but in terms of the actual value to move up from, what was it, like 24 to 8 or something in that range. Okay, if Philly comes calling, right, and it goes Winston Williams, Mariota's on the board, Philly wants him because Chip Kelly's an evil genius, mad scientist. What do you need from Philadelphia to move down to number 20?
I need, obviously, this year's first because they're flipping that. I need next year's first, and I need a second either this year or next year.
Okay,
I'm fine with that.
Give it to me again. I just
need a first and a second, basically.
First and a second.
Yeah, a first next
in
year.
In addition to
this year's first round pick.
Because people have been throwing around. I don't know where the McCoy on the trading block kind of thought process
I don't
got
know.
Started.
I know his cap number is huge this year.
Maybe that's it.
McCoy's cap hit is almost $12 million this year.
Jack's going to eat that a tag along. All right,
yeah, his contract
like a thin mint.
It went from 7.65 as a base salary last year. This is the biggest year under that contract, $9.75 million, with a quarter of $1 million workout bonus, quarter of $1 million roster bonus. So his cap hit is right around 12.
All right, you know what? Duval Doom told me this morning, and I think he's lying, but he made me feel good. He said this date in football history is his favorite segment on this show. Wow, I'm shocked. And he was actually serious about it. We've got this date in football history coming up. The Honda drive around the NFL as well. Today, the fan feedback question of the day asks you, give us an NFL personality, player, coach, front office, commissioner, whomever you like, that profiles as a supervillain, and which supervillain would that be? That's going to be the subject of our Friday Top 5 coming up in a little bit as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Duval Doom here with us in studio live at Everbank on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Ladies and gentlemen, this date in football history, Duval Doom's favorite segment on Jaguars today, and we're sure it's yours as well, is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, February 27th. Happy birthday to probably the greatest tight end in NFL history. Who is that?
Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is there any other tight end? I mean, his numbers dwarf pretty much anybody who's played the position. I don't know. I've never heard him raved about as a blocker. Kansas City ran the ball pretty damn well throughout his tenure with the Chiefs. He can't have been a liability, I wouldn't think.
But he's not as good as Kyle Brady,
well,
right?
This is true.
Okay.
This is true. And for one thing, he never donned the teal. So there's that. Tony Gonzalez born on this day in 1976. And, you know, they talk about woman being strong, right? Tony Gonzalez's wife is Hercules, baby. She is amazing. Holy smokes. Hello, Mrs. Gonzalez. Saw her at the Super Bowl this year. Also, this date in football history, 2003, Emmitt Smith became a free agent for the first time, released on this date by the Dallas Cowboys. It was just a short time after that where he was announcing his retirement in the city of Jacksonville. It was during Super Bowl week,
well,
as a matter
of
fact. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
That was, I guess, January 2004. He played a season with, right, because it was the 2003 season, 2004 Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl was here in 05, right?
Was it 05? 2004? Whatever it was.
I think it was 05.
About 10 years ago is when it happened.
I got a speeding ticket that week.
I think he played 2 years with the Cardinals, right? I think he had a 1,000-yard season with them, didn't he, or am I mistaken?
Who is this? I was looking
Emmitt
at
Smith.
Tight ends.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith.
Cardinals.
Maybe, yeah.
Tony was anticipating some kind of pop quiz.
No, I was curious about, you know, I knew Tony Gonzalez was going to be number one on the list of tight ends for everything. I was curious about who the other, you know, two or three guys up towards the top would be. The number two tight end.
In terms of what?
In receptions, it's Jason Witten.
Okay, I can see that.
In NFL history and beyond that.
I would think Antonio Gates might be up there in terms of touchdowns.
Shannon Sharp
is
third. Antonio Gates is fourth on receptions at tight end. And I don't see a
Can
fit
we get
yet.
Kyle Brady?
I don't see a fit yet.
Waiting on Kyle Brady.
Waiting on Kyle Brady's spot.
Tony,
on the
one
list.
Spot ahead of Mercedes Lewis.
Still don't
Kyle
see
perhaps
a fifth.
T5.
I don't know who the fifth is.
Right there. All right. And also this date in football history. Well, it's not football. Go watch your Frank Underwood today. House of Cards is out on Netflix.
It's all the same.
And also a year from now, we'll be talking about the 1 year anniversary of Duval Doom hanging with his good pal Gus Bradley.
Oh, I hope that's what we're talking about.
In the bowels of Everbank Field. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Whether it's fencing for your home or your place of business, go with the company that does it the best. You're going to get the best customer service. You're going to get a professional free estimate at your convenience by calling 268-1638. Visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Former NFL defensive end Simeon Rice, who wasn't even listed among the 113 nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame last year, is a little ticked off and said as much in an interview with SB Nation, quote, "You can't have a Hall of Fame without me being in it. It's just not legitimate." Rice went on to take a shot at Michael Strahan, who is in the Hall of Fame, saying, quote, I didn't have nobody falling down to help me get sacks.
Woo!
Referring to the Brett Favre play.
Nice.
When Michael Strahan set the single season record. Former Jacksonville Jaguars VP of player personnel James Shaq Harris has announced his retirement from the NFL after 46 years around the game. Shaq was the first African-American quarterback to start a season opener in the NFL. He is now 67 years old. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, but it bears repeating, Brian Hartline and Harry Douglas have both been released, a couple more names thrown into that free agent market. The word coming out of Miami right now, too, Mike Wallace absolutely refuses to restructure his deal, so he may be a cut at some point as well. We'll see what happens with Miami.
Pain in my backside. Don't you have a feeling that's what Mike Wallace would be? If deep threat. You want a guy to stretch a field.
No doubt.
That's what Mike Wallace does. And I think he thrived in part with Ben Roethlisberger because of his ability to extend the play and then his willingness to take shots off of it. Ryan Tannehill's got the ability to extend the play. He's a very mobile quarterback, but their offense was not one that wanted to take a lot of shots down the field. So why go sign Mike Wallace? Well, I guess they felt like they needed to spend that money somewhere. And that's case in point why you just don't flash the cash unless it makes sense for you. I don't have any interest in Mike Wallace more because everything you hear about him, he's just a malcontent, you know?
Jerry Porter.
You think, but more talented Jerry Porter.
Oh, clearly, yeah.
More talented. Gerard was raving, by the way, about Jerry Porter. Pre-injury, he's like, wow. I mean, he really thought, and people forget, I mean, he had a pretty significant tear. What was it, a quadricep tear?
I did forget that.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that
he
at
went
all.
I remember being out there at practice. I think it was Hacker and I were out there one day at practice taking it in, and practice hadn't even started, and he's like running a pattern, you know, just going down, somebody throwing the ball, and he went down in a heap.
Ooh.
And I want to say it was his right quad, if I'm not mistaken, and that kind of put him behind the eight ball right off the bat. I think I'm bad luck. I was like
were you near LaRon Robinson?
I was 4 feet away. He landed almost at my feet.
Goodness.
Right there. Hit his head on the little concrete scene. What are you going
to
do?
So send Tony to practice.
Maybe that's it. See, Tony?
I went this year. No significant injuries. Boom.
Woo! I need to go home after my two-hour work day. Do we have Fred on the line, Tyler? 641-1010. Let's get him in before we break. Hi, Fred. Good morning. You're on Jaguars today. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, guys. So what I was calling about was your trade proposal with the Eagles. We get two number ones and a number two. That's good. But wouldn't they be very willing to give up Nick Foles, too? And then in the ultimate, you know, pull the wool over their eyes, we go ahead and get one of Cleveland's top picks, give them Nick Foles, and then it'll just be a vast wasteland because it's Cleveland, so we don't lose anything for it anyway.
Yeah, in theory, that sounds wonderful. In reality, if the Eagles were going to make this move and then deal Foles, I'm sure they're going to vet everybody who's interested in Foles,
right.
You know, and what the value would be and what they could get for him in that scenario. I'm not a fan of trading for a commodity or drafting a commodity with the idea of trading, retrading that commodity. Like people say, hey, if Mariota's there, just take him and then you've got a great trade chip. Well, that's not a good, no. Don't, cause then you can get stuck with that guy. And, you know, if that, give me LeSean McCoy, you're going to come in and help this team. Give me a second round pick where I could pick maybe a starting linebacker or something like that. Don't
you trade
give me
for players you're going to use. You don't trade for players you're going to trade. And on top of that, I don't think anybody's given you a first-round pick for Nick Foles.
I can't remember the last time a player.
No way.
How often do teams trade for players with the intention of immediately trading them? It doesn't happen that often.
Trade for him to do that? No,
right.
They
yeah.
don't do that. I mean,
I'm sure it's happened that they pick
the
up
draft,
a guy. And
the situation with New York and San Diego was both teams wanted a quarterback, so they both selected a quarterback, and Eli Manning just refused to play for San Diego, so they made the trade. And
but they knew that going in,
right?
And they gambled that Rivers would be there when the Giants picked,
right?
Because he could have come off the board and they could have been stuck with Eli Manning, in which case they might have played hardball with him and maybe Eli goes to San Diego and who knows what
happens
from that point on.
But you don't you don't trade for a guy to trade the guy. That's a little absurd.
Right. I wouldn't do that. But that's all right. You know what? Feel free to think, while they're at it, they can throw in a few other guys on top of that as well.
Bring them on.
We'll take Jordan Matthews.
They got any linemen?
Heck yeah, anchor down, baby.
You don't need him, right? Yeah, linemen, right? We'll
take some linemen.
Somebody who was the
I'm tired of not being able to pull for my boy Matthews.
Who's a right tackle? Lane Johnson. I saw somebody, I don't know if it was on Twitter or if this was like in an article, somebody was saying, hey, let's get Lane Johnson back from Philadelphia. Sure, they're just going to throw one of the starting tackles into the deal. Because, you know, right. the young starting tackle.
Every now and then, man.
Every now and then
you'll get the why don't we trade for Tom Brady call. It's because they're not available,
bro.
It'd
be good for us.
Right.
Wait, is trading for Tom Brady on the table?
Hey, sure.
I mean,
we just put it on the table.
All right, let's
throw it out
there.
Somebody get a hold of Dave Caldwell.
Go tell
your good friend Gus Bradley
right.
to send this thing up the ladder, and let's get a little action on this, all right?
Okay.
Free agency opens up in, less than 2 weeks. Got to be on top of these things. All right, coming up next, Friday Top 5, and you can participate. You can tweet
time?
Us your responses. Yes, you have them ranked. Yes.
I do.
I kind of have mine loosely ranked. I may make up the order as I go along. But regardless, today we're doing top NFL personalities, that's players, coaches, anyone involved with the league that profile as supervillains and who is their supervillain equivalent in honor of our guest in studio today, or our co-host for the day, we should call him. Not a guest. He's Duval Doom, @Duval_Doom on Twitter. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, back with the Friday Top 5 next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. You're excited about this bump music here, but I would have thought you would want the Imperial Death March or something. We're talking super villains here, man.
I understand, but there's something about the Superman theme.
It's so good.
My wife will laugh at me because I have it on Spotify, and I'll listen to it when they need to get pumped up on the way.
You're pumped up right now, Tony. Look at this guy.
Listen to John Williams.
John Williams is the man.
He's orchestrating the hell out of this thing.
Yeah, he is.
You know what? John Williams does Indiana Jones, does all the Star Wars themes. Yeah. I mean, he's phenomenal. They do his music at the symphony here in town, and... even if you're not a symphony fan, that is a show you can really enjoy because you'll be like, wow, he did that too? Pretty cool.
As soon as they start, a movie starts playing in your head. You're like, oh, I know exactly what this is.
You know what my favorite is? It's actually funny. It's not Superman. I love his Jurassic Park theme.
Oh, it's amazing.
The Jurassic Park theme is fantastic.
You and Hacker need to get together and compare playlists over there. You got any Celine Dion on your Spotify?
I will come across this table.
All right. It'll take you 13-point-something seconds to get here. All right. He is Duval Doom in honor of Duval County, where he is Duval till he dies, and because of Dr. Doom. Is he your favorite supervillain?
Absolutely.
Okay. Victor Von Doom.
Here's the thing. Reed Richards is a schmuck.
Is he?
Yes.
He's got a hot wife.
He does. He does, but he lucked into her. He lucked into everything. That's the thing. Reed will invent something that takes them to another dimension by accident, and then he'll get rich off of it. It's the most infuriating thing you've ever seen.
You sound
like Galactus, devourer of worlds. I have this little thing called the ultimate nullifier. It's about the size of my thumb.
Right.
Fear me. Tremble right. in front of me.
Exactly. Whereas Victor's like, you know, you only have that because I invented half the circuitry that's in it, but you're never going to tell anybody that part of it. Because you're Reed.
He's a misunderstood villain, is what Dr. Doom is. All right, so today's top five, the Friday top five, Gus goes this morning. What's top five today? So he knows. I appreciate you listening, Gus. And then I was like, I felt like, okay, here we go. Well, Mr. Football Man, we like the comic books. So
oh, dude. When he said, that's great, you could definitely tell a difference in that. That's great. Other than all the other that's great that he had said us.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
right.
that's great.
My dad's the same way. Like every comic book I read, I could almost feel him across the room watching me read, just shaking his head. Like,
hey, you know, by the way,
I'm doing.
For all you football aficionados, and we assume there are many of you in the audience, or at least we hope there are, next Friday, I'll give you a preview of next Friday's top five. I don't think this list is going to be that hard to put together. It'll be interesting to how we rank them. It's going to be the top five best free agent signings in Jaguar team history. We did worst draft picks last week.
Yeah.
It's not all about the negative. I mean, we're going to be on the verge of free agency practically by next Friday. So getting you ready with the, so we'll go football centric, doing a little bit of pop culture today. And with that, we're giving you the top five NFL personalities that profile as supervillains. Let's begin the countdown.
Number five.
Five.
Come on.
Five.
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 Number five.
All right, Doom, what you got?
My number five pick is J.J. Watt, and he is Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy. Why is he Solomon Grundy?
Because he's big and stupid.
Okay.
Shout out to my Uncle Billy, who is a Houston Texans fan living in Houston and constantly asks me if I want a J.J. Watt jersey for Christmas.
Scott, is it, Uncle Billy's got to be on the wife's side, right?
Dad's side. Dad's side, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I got a feeling all yours are going to be about like that.
That's fine. I love it.
I'm looking forward to it.
J.J. Watt's going to make my list, too, but not a Solomon Grundy. Tony, who's your number five?
First of all, this list, for me, it's not a look-alike thing. For me, it's more of a personality trait. It's kind of the basis of the character and how it fits the player. For me, also at number five is J.J. Watt, but I put it as Juggernaut, as the unstoppable beast that he is. And he's snarky a little bit. He makes the snide comments. He gets under your skin a little bit, but he's completely dominant. I got J.J. Watt as Juggernaut.
Austin Pastor stopped him, I'm just saying.
Oh, all right. There you go. Juggernaut can be stopped,
by the way. So is Austin Pastor Professor X?
Maybe. I did my research. Mental and...
that's why he wears that helmet.
And mystical, right. Stuff can get in his head and can throw him off. I got to give you an honorable mention, because I'm with you. I went more with, like, traits of a guy rather than what they look like.
I got a whole list of honorable
mentions. But let me just give you the one, because I got a tweet from Daniel at Yesterday Dan on Twitter just 22 minutes ago, and I didn't know if anyone else would come up with this. So my honorable mention is Tom Coughlin, circa NFC Championship game in Green Bay as Red Skull. Come on. I mean, he is the lookalike for Red Skull in that circumstance. But I'll go to Coughlin's team right now. I'll give you Odell Beckham Jr. As Doc Ock. Okay, with the telescoping arms, reaching up, catching passes. He's got, and what does Doc Ock have at the end of each of those arms? Three little pincers, right?
Yes.
That's all he needs to catch a football is three fingers. So there you go. Odell Beckham Jr. is Dr. Octopus. Let's continue the countdown.
One, two, three, four.
Two, three, four.
Four. Four.
Four.
Four.
Four.
Four.
Four.
Four.
Four.
Number four.
The other thing about my list is the order that I put it in is basically in the order that I like the villains all time. It's not necessarily that I think this is the most direct matchup between the two. It's the order I like the villains. So Juggernaut was number five on my list.
Are you breaking the top five code of conduct?
No.
There is no code of conduct.
We didn't have any rules. Number four for me is Bill Belichick. And the villain that I put as Bill Belichick is Galactus, because he is devouring, if you consider each NFL season a world to its own, he is devouring the worlds one at a time with no remorse. It is just him feeding his own ego and himself on a year-to-year basis. So I have Bill Belichick as Galactus.
See, and again, I don't really have these ranked in a particular order except for my number one. So I will go with my Roger Goodell now, and my Roger Goodell is also Galactus. Yours, Belichick, is Galactus.
Yes.
I have Goodell as Galactus because he devours everything, right? He devours everything, and the ultimate nullifier, which, going geekdom here, was the one device that could basically wipe out the entire universe with Galactus in it, right? So he'd be gone, as well as the only thing that could defeat him. That was kind of like the Ray Rice videotape, right? The one little tiny piece of technology that could bring the man down was that you know, the Ray Rice thing was the ultimate nullifier for him. He has survived, much like Galactus did as well. So I have Roger Goodell as Devourer of Worlds at number four. Your number four is?
My number four is a straight from my heart shout out to Jaguars Twitter. It is Jason LaCanfora.
As?
The Penguin. Because the Penguin wants to be a gangster. He wants to be this big, bad force. But he's not.
He's a dude with an umbrella.
Right. I mean, he runs a bar. He's kind of weak. He doesn't have anything. He's got a few thugs. That's it. And a lot of times, if you no matter what version of Batman you're into, whether you're reading the comics or you're watching the cartoon, you ever notice the Penguin's just wrong a lot, kind of like LaCanfora.
Wow. You know, we had a guy on my Sirius show on, I think it was last weekend, from Cleveland. We're talking about what's going on with the Browns. And we brought the name Jason LaCanfora. He goes, oh, yeah, you mean Mike Lombardi's lapdog? So apparently this is not the only market who may not take kindly to Jason LaCanfora. All right, there you go with number four. Let's continue the countdown.
Three.
Easy as one, two, three.
One, two, three.
Freak.
Really good bird.
Three.
Number three.
All right, my number three, I've also got Belichick on the list. I mean, if you're doing NFL villains, it was hard for me not to think. You know, he was the first guy that popped in. And there's
Bill and Belichick.
There's some really good ones. Somebody sent the picture of Belichick with the, like, the ashen face in his hoodie next to a picture of Emperor Palpatine, which is spot on in terms of a supervillain. But I went with the leader. And I actually, we got a tweet on this one as well. The leader was just a pretty average guy. He was a slow-witted laborer. Think Bill Belichick circa Cleveland Browns coaching days, right? And when a freak occurrence where he interacted with gamma radiation turned him into this super amazing, brilliant guy, this sixth-round gamma-radiated draft pick named Tom Brady turned Bill Belichick into the smartest, greatest coach in the history of the National Football League, so say some. So I've got Bill Belichick as one of the Hulk's main nemeses, the leader. So that's what I've got for number three. What do you got?
For number three, I went with Andrew Luck.
Okay.
I understand that he's not a bad guy. He doesn't ever say anything bad. Everybody loves him. But he kind of reminds me of Bizarro in a lot of ways because he talks funny and he looks funny.
He does.
And he has all of Superman's powers. So
that's pretty good.
That's who I went with.
That's pretty good. As soon as you said him, I thought Sabretooth just because of the neck
beard.
All right.
Right,
I mean,
right.
And Sabretooth is kind of sometimes portrayed as being a little bit slow
as well.
So that's pretty good. I like Bizarro Superman.
He is. For me, number three is Robert Kraft. And my Robert Kraft one was Thanos. And the reason I have him as Thanos is because the idea the Marvel Universe is setting up right now is Thanos is kind of the power behind the power in all these different places. And if you really believe the word that Robert Kraft has the ear of Roger Goodell, isn't he really the power behind the power right now? And he keeps collecting these items of power so that he can conquer the NFL Universe. I have Robert Kraft as Thanos at number three on my list.
There you have it. We're through 5, 4, and 3. On to number two.
One.
Number two.
All right, dude, who you got at number two?
Number two, I have the most horrible quarterback in Jaguars history, Peyton Manning, because he was such a thorn in our side for so long. We had to deal with him for so long, and I put him as the leader.
He's got the head.
The head.
The head.
And
is
I tweeted
exact,
out a picture somebody had photoshopped of Manning with his head all green and scary. And, you know, Sprint did an ad campaign a few years ago called Manning's Mind, where they showed you ways to improve your speed in life. Like, I learned how to get ketchup out of a bottle. They had all this weird stuff.
What would you have done without that?
Right. And so I realized how insidious the whole thing was. They were trying to make me like this guy, and I won't like him. I don't care how many people like him. My wife loves him. I don't care how funny he is on SNL. I will not like him. And so I have
He's the leader. All right, Tony, who you got at number two?
Number two for me, this is when we get to Roger Goodell. And Roger Goodell for me is Magneto. And the reason he's Magneto is because his whole idea, his whole cause is to protect that shield. And whatever it takes to protect that shield is what Roger Goodell is willing to do. But everything he does to protect the shield hurts it in the end. He's completely misunderstood. He goes too far in what he wants to do to protect that shield, as Magneto does to protect the mutants in his own mind at the cost of his own people at times. So for me, Roger Goodell is Magneto.
All right. I also included J.J. Watt in my top five, and I've got him here at number two. And I really thought about him as Doomsday, right? The only one powerful enough to kill Superman, because you got to admit, I mean, you can hate him, whatever, he's a freak of nature, but I ultimately, and I really don't know much about this guy, but I was doing my supervillain research yesterday, and I'm not a DC guy per se, but Amazo, you know who Amazo is?
Yes,
all right, Amazo is a guy
he's
an android, and he's got all these different abilities, but he can duplicate the powers of any superhero that he comes across, much like J.J. Watt. You want tight end? I got it. You know, he can play tight end. He could probably play wide receiver. He can do pretty much anything you want on a football field and do it better than the guy you have playing that position. So, that's what I went with, even though I don't really know much about the Amazo story. I've got JJ Watt in at number two, which brings us to
4, 3, 2.
One.
Number one, and it's my favorite comic book character, my favorite villain of all time. Venom. You know they say you have the T-shirt to prove it. I got the T-shirt to prove it as I'm wearing my Venom shirt today. But number one for me.
Tony just did a reveal. I did. A little zip down reveal.
I
went Cam Newton.
And it's a baseball style shirt. I love this shirt. I bought it when I was in like eighth grade. Somehow it still fits me.
Tony can still wear clothes from eighth grade.
I know, but Venom.
I can wear a fat kid's clothes from eighth grade.
Venom, I went with Ndamukong Suh. And here's the reason I went with Ndamukong Suh. Because he doesn't look like Venom, especially. But it's this idea of, away from the field, we hear about Sue as being a guy that the guys in the locker room kind of like. He's a good dude away from the field. He does a lot for charity in the Detroit area. He's part of that family up there. But he gets on the field, and he loses his freaking mind. Like, he forgets who he is. He forgets that he's a good guy. He becomes just the villain that is destroying things on his way to whatever his goal happens to be. For Venom, it's Spider-Man. Whenever Spider-Man comes in the picture, he loses his head, and he just starts ripping things and people apart. Other than that, he's actually a good guy, or at least he thinks he is. He protects people. And just like that, Sue, when he gets on the field, forgets he's a good guy and does whatever he has to get to the Spider-Man, in this case, which would be the opposing quarterback or the guy standing underneath him, loses track of who and what he is and becomes the bad guy, that alter ego bad guy that the symbiote takes over. For me, Ndamukong Suh is Venom.
All right, so your top five was what?
I had J.J. Watt as Juggernaut, Bill Belichick as Galactus, Robert Kraft as Thanos, Roger Goodell as Magneto, and Ndamukong Suh as Venom.
All right, I had honorable mention Tom Coughlin as Red Skull. I had Odell Beckham Jr. as Dr. Octopus. I had Goodell as Galactus, the Devourer of Worlds. I had Belichick as the leader. I had J.J. Watt as Amazo, the guy who could take over his opponent's abilities. And number one, for me, I went with Marshawn Lynch as Juggernaut, okay? The unstoppable force, beast mode, whose only weakness is mental and mystical manipulation, such as that which may be cast upon him by Pete Carroll's play calling down near the goal line. The only way to stop Juggernaut is to not start Juggernaut, okay? Because he is the unstoppable force. So I went with Marshawn Lynch. I was trying to think of one who didn't talk a lot, too. I'm sure I could have come up with somebody, but that's who I went with number one. And Duval Doom, that's your drum roll. Who do you have at number one? Give us a 5-1.
My 5-1 were J.J. Watt as Solomon Grundy, because he's big and stupid. Locke Anfora as the Penguin. Luck as Bizarro. I had Manning as the leader. And my number one is Jeff Fisher as Luthor, because there's no reason Jeff Fisher should have beat us three times that year, but he's such a conniving, dirty cheat that he was able to figure out a way to do it.
See, I really thought you were going to go Jeff Fisher as himself. Right?
I thought about it.
And that would have been perfect.
I just hate him so much.
All right, there you go. We'll get to some of your responses. Had a lot of fun with this on Twitter today. You can still send them in at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and all you Jaguar Twitter aficionados. Most of you probably already follow him, but if you don't, Duval_Doom in studio here with us. It's a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. We will return with the fan feedback spotlight, get your reaction to that, maybe throw a few honorable mentions at you as well. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And down the stretch they come, wrapping things up for the week here on Jaguars Today. XL Primetime coming up at the top of the hour. Josie Hacker and T-Wig out there with you. Hope you got into the Fantasy NASCAR League. If you didn't already, or you're going to get shut out this week making your picks because things locked. Tony, did you get your lineup changed the way you like it for week two?
I did. Now, I put it in on Tuesday, so I haven't looked at it again since
you can
Tuesday.
Still switch your starters in and out, but you're so locked with what you went with on Tuesday.
Yeah.
This may be the last time you're able to switch your lineup before the deadline, I'm guessing.
No. I'm planning on paying attention. I even watched like an hour of like a NASCAR show last night on Fox
Sports. It'll suck you in, man.
Because they were doing all the track testing stuff in Atlanta with the new aero packages. Listen to me. But
whoa, what just happened?
I got my drivers. We'll see what happens this weekend.
All right,
vroom.
By the way, just because Stan Van Gundy looks like Ron Jeremy, does not make either one of those guys a supervillain nor have anything to do with the NFL. But thank you for posting those.
We didn't ask for lookalikes.
Right. So thank you for posting those side-by-sides on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We appreciate that. The fan feedback question today brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. The same one as was the subject of the Friday Top 5. Which NFL personality best profiles as a supervillain, and which supervillain would that be? And we got quite the bevy of responses, Tony, for instance.
From Brandon, Andy Reid could be an alternative for Penguin. He would be called the Walrus. From Kevin, got to go with the late Al Davis, hair like a Batman character. To me, Al Davis always struck me as more of a Skeletor. I'll get you, He-Man! From at Irish Jaguar, Belichick is the leader. Puz is General Zod, and Goodell is Ultron. From Black Dog, we got Jeff Fisher. I load that guy like Snidely Whiplash, Yoko Ono, and Sauerkraut. From Brian, Roger Goodell is General Zod. Also, not sure if this counts, but MJD as Darth Vader. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know where that comes from either. I'm not 100% sure. And you're giving Sauerkraut a bad name. Okay, Sauerkraut is not as low as Jeff Fisher on any scale.
No.
From Cam, we got Jerry Jones is Magneto. And from Dusty Duval, Roger Goodell is Shooter McGavin, not a supervillain.
Sort of. Kind of a supervillain.
So Jerry Jones is Magneto. Shooter!
I got this one, a couple others that only came in my inbox here. This one from at This Site Is Bad on Twitter. Andrew Luck is Superman in that he is overhyped and boring. Okay. It's not a supervillain per se, but nonetheless, we got the Jerry Jones. Two-Face would be, applicable to a bunch of them. Lex Luthor just walked by again.
There he goes.
That's Duval Doom's good friend, Gus Bradley.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Gus?
Walked by the studio a minute ago. These guys are tight now. I think, I saw him give a little, long distance fist bump through the, glass right there.
Of course.
So, all right. I think that pretty much.
My Two-Face was Cam Newton.
Covered. Yeah. Well,
ouch. Sorry, Dad.
You know, what can you say?
Yeah, I had a couple others. I had the Seattle Seahawks defense as the Sentinels, potentially. I thought about that. Tom Brady maybe as Bullseye, and James Harrison as Gorilla Grodd from The Flash.
I got one from Ocho Fisher that was pretty good. It was Goodell as Zod.
General Zod, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see. I thought... Hines Ward as Mr. Mixelpick, if that's how you say his name, the little imp.
Mitzjezpitalik.
Is that?
Mitzjezpitalik.
Mitzjezpitalik. Are you now going to disappear because you said it three times?
Maybe.
I tricked you into saying it three times. Is that the story with him?
I think it's three, or 11, or 42.
Something like that.
It depends on which continuity you pay attention
to. I thought it was three. The continuity of whatever they were printing... back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
That's my continuity.
And it was funny, the way I did this list, I had a list of supervillains, and I was like, can I think of anybody that fits this villain? And, like, for some of the top ones, it's difficult. Like, I couldn't think of anybody that's the Joker, because the Joker is just chaos. Like, there's no other way to describe he's just chaos for chaos' sake, and I thought maybe that's like a Mike Florio type thing where you throw it out there and watch the way the world crumbles around it, you know?
Florio.
Yeah, but some of them it was really difficult. Like Loki? Who the heck would be a Loki in the National Football League?
A trickster? I think that's Belichick.
A deceiver?
Belichick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be.
It could be.
Belichick
is basically half the supervillains, right?
Right.
Some part of each supervillain is embodied in Belichick. By the way, I'm sure you, as you always do, listen to another award-winning edition of Jaguars Thursday with J.P. Shadrick and Tony Baselli, I believe it was last night, and Mike Florio was a guest on that program. What happened to Jaguars Twitter's collective head explode at that point?
No, we like J.P. better than you.
Oh, is that what it is?
So it's
JP. It's the presence of JP offsets the animosity you have towards Mike Florio. Well, that makes sense now. That makes perfect sense.
A shot as he goes out the door.
No, you know what? I like how he's played along. I hope you enjoyed your one visit to Jaguars today here. And I got one less Twitter guy to worry about now, don't I?
Blocked.
No, I'm kidding. All right, so we went through a little earlier. Some of your wish list for free agency and the draft and all that. You've heard all the coverage. You know what's being said and what's being written about. How aggressive do you think they ultimately are? Are we going to see several guys who are the top guy at their position? Are we going to see some mid-range guys? Are Jaguar fans as a whole going to be disappointed? I'm talking about the hardcore people that follow this all the time, because there are a lot of people that have no clue when free agency opens up, and that's their prerogative, you know? So how do you think it's going to go?
I think there's two schools of thought, even in my own brain, and mainly I think all of us tend to want to say they're going to go after one or two solid guys, and it's going to be safe but good, and we're going to bring them in, and it's going to be safe, and it's going to make a difference. And I've seen a lot of that on there, but in our heart of hearts, I think if all of Jaguars Twitter would be honest, and I'm talking about everybody, even the guys that keep saying it's not going to happen, most of us think Shad is going to take us to the house and spend a lot of money.
I hope so.
I would not be surprised, and that's the big difference between now and just a couple years ago, because if that had ever happened a few years ago, I might have fainted.
You know, if you listen to Jaguars Today on Monday, John Osier was trying to give you a soft landing.
That guy.
It sounded like. that guy.
Just kidding, Johnny.
All right. As he said, he thinks, you know, Jaguar fans may be disappointed. My point was, it's one thing to be disappointed if Jason Pierre-Paul and Devin McCourty and a bunch of these guys never make it to free agency. You're disappointed because, man, it looked like a great class and it turned out to be nothing, right? Poof, it disappeared. Nothing the Jags can do about that. Another thing to be disappointed because you pursued guys and they opted not to sign with you. That's okay, too, in my opinion. It's disappointing, but there needs to be, if they're not landing some of the big-name guys, for me, I can't speak for everyone out there, there needs to be shown that there is an effort, a pursuit of some of these guys. I mean, you've got that much money. You've got franchise-changing money. I get it. Your philosophy, you want to draft and develop. So do a lot of teams out there, and they're drafting good players too.
But there's no reason you can't draft and develop and bring three or four guys in.
As Tony pointed out over a week ago, who's the best unit on this football team? How'd they get all of them? All starters on the front four on defense were free agent acquisitions. You know, Paul Posluszny, you talk about five of your guys in your front seven on defense, and you really only have six right now because you have Telvin and a big question mark at one of those spots. So
that you're going to fill in free agency or the draft.
Right.
Those are the choices they have for that seventh spot right now.
Right. And look, you don't build your whole team around it, but we're not talking about let's go after a bunch of 34-year-old guys who've played their best football. We're still, I mean, the guys we've been primarily discussing are guys in their mid to late 20s.
Right.
Who we still feel have their best contract football ahead of them. Their next contract will cover the best football of their careers. So, we'll see how it all shakes out.
And you do a contract like we're seeing with guys like Brian Hartline right now, where in the NFL you may sign a guy to a 5-year deal, but it's really a 2 or 3 year deal with the team able to get out of it if the player's not playing to the level that they need to at the end of that contract. You can set them up that way, and I'm curious to see what happens with a lot of these young guys, just what kind of contracts they sign.
By the way, explanation, MJD as Darth Vader, says Brian, came in as a kid with a lot of promise. He got hurt, became mechanical, and ended up being a shell of his former self.
Oh, pretty good.
All right, well, there at least he's got a story.
I want to know who you think the Emperor is that he killed, Brian. I'm curious now.
I'm curious where would it be Red? Where does Duval Doom enter the top five power rankings for hosts?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, is he covered?
Number
Mike's going to have to update those. He had who did he bump up to number one? He bumped up Garrard for his strong appearance. It's a very it's a list that tends to fluctuate a lot week to week, apparently, because based on Dave's strong appearance last week, he shot up ahead of Osier to the number one spot. That would drop Loggy down to number three. O'Halloran was five, and then number four was every other person who was co-hosted. So
technically,
that was pre-doom,
right
though. That was pre-doom. We don't
Come
know.
Come on, Mikey. Come on, Mikey.
By the way, I'm not even going to read the one from Josh Wigan that I got on Facebook because it'll just depress our anger. Should I read it?
Do you
think?
Read it.
All right, I'll read it. Josh Wigan on, I'm warning you here, supervillain, NFL personality is a supervillain. Dave Caldwell is the Grinch. Okay, and I know he's not a supervillain, but bear with me. The Grinch stole Christmas. Dave Caldwell stole Tim Tebow from Jacksonville.
Oh, dear.
I told you. I warned you. I warned you.
You did. Okay? It's fine. You know what's great about that? I don't get upset about Tebow talk anymore because last time I checked, Tebow's not a football player.
Doom, it was good having you in.
Thank you.
Let's do it again sometime. Thank you for breakfast.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
It was awesome.
Help yourself to some of the tag-alongs. I wasn't kidding about that, if you'd like. Thanks, Cardinal and Cadillac, our Friday sponsor since 1905, serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They have the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville. Absolutely no dealer fees. With an on-site body shop, they'll paint and repair any Cadillac model. Cardinal and Cadillac guaranteed to offer the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars today. So, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Duval Doom, for Joe Fortunato, and everybody else out there, thanks for tuning in. I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime. Coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.